Welcome to What's Left, a weekly political discussion challenging the mainstream left. I'm Eduardo Abarca with Andy Lipson. Today, on the anniversary of 9/11, we discuss
the 18th anniversary.
The 18 years anniversary. The 18th year. How would you say it in English?
18th. I don't know. I don't know how to say it in English.
You're a science teacher, not an English teacher. Well, 18 years after the 9/11 anniversary, we a 9/11 attack or 9/11
inside job.
Let's start again, Andy.
No.
So we don't have time to be arguing about right. What happened.
Yes.
18 years since the war on terror on 9/11 that Bush declared and his administration. We discussed the baseless war on terrorism that has been ongoing for 18 years in the Middle East, in light of the cancellations of the Taliban peace negotiations.
And the firing of John Bolton.
And the firing of John Bolton.
And the carpet bombing of Iraq today, which I think is connected.
Yes. Yes. We'll delve into all those details today.
Hopefully I'll get to that.
Join us today.
Yeah.
Right. Let's give some context.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, there was talk of having the peace negotiations cancelled. And the firing of John Bolton, as you said. These conversations with the Taliban have been ongoing, apparently there's a history of when they have been ongoing, but with this administration in particular, since 2018. And it was largely excluding the Afghan government in the peace negotiations as they were trying to have a process. And
that was just between the United States and Taliban.
Yes, and just recently they were just going to have people from this administration of the USA and the Taliban meet at Camp David.
And those would have included the president of Afghanistan as well.
Yes, at that time it would have. And this could have also impacted the 2019 elections, which are happening in Afghanistan for this year.
Yeah, whose name is Ashraf Ghani.
Thank you.
And the diplomat we might be talking about, the U.S. diplomat who has gone back for a ways, Zalmay Khalilzad.
I'm a Spanish speaker. I'm not an Arab speaker, so I will try my best with you.
U.S. diplomat who's been there for a long time, also a former consultant of Unocal, an oil company.
Yeah, and thank you for filling those in. It was just one thing after another that happened over the weekend. And this is all happening, as I had mentioned earlier, in the light of 9/11, the anniversary of 9/11, which is debatable even about what happened.
Liberals lost their mind over the idea that Trump might actually reach some sort of peace agreement during this time, because how dare he try to broker some sort of agreement that would be really what it is it's mostly a partial pullout. 5,000 troops would supposedly be coming out. There would still be 14,000 troops remaining, but then there would be a slow drawdown of those over what would be a 16-month period. Really, it was Trump's way for the 2020 election to fulfill a promise he said of getting out of Afghanistan. And it also was part of a policy of Trump orienting himself more towards China and moving out of the U.S. dominance in the Eurasian area and the Middle East and like that. So Democrats had solidarity with John Bolton in being upset that such a thing could dare happen in this solemn time of 9/11 anniversary.
Yeah, and this is the longest war in U.S.-American history. And yes, as you said, Trump has been on the promise that he would end this Afghan war. And it's very complicated because he also tried to take out troops, remember, in Syria, which we had discussed in this.
Yeah, and he hasn't done that either.
Yeah, and just as well, just to say that the Taliban as much as people want to try to, especially the liberals, not, well, they just largely everyone in the politicians in the USA try not to have any negotiations. They think, why would you negotiate with terrorists, as they label it? The Taliban holds a very strong hold in Afghanistan and in the Middle East. It's just I was just reading that they control or contest more territory, 46% of the land inhabited by a third of the population. That's at any time since the U.S. intervention, and any deal today would have to involve the Taliban. You would just have to involve the Taliban for that.
They're more legitimate than the existing government, which is a puppet of the U.S. administration, which is why the U.S. has actually largely ignored them in these negotiations. This Camp David thing was the first time that this president, Ashraf Ghani, was even going to be invited to do it, because it's a completely puppet government. The United States believes, and many of the people like Bolton and the neoconservatives believe, that the U.S. pulls out, that the government's going to collapse, and the so-called Taliban, I think, which is really the insurgency in Afghanistan, would take over.
And as everyone is commemorating the lives that have been lost because of 9/11 in New York, I want to draw just a little bit of attention over here to the lives that have been lost in the Middle East, because I think you will get plenty of coverage all over the media today for if you want to commemorate the lives in the USA. I think need to commemorate, because the US government evades responsibility for the human cost of its overseas endeavors. And some researchers, I can't even keep count, but there are some that have, in just this one figure, Brown University's Cost of War project this month released a new estimate. This is last year, excuse me, this estimate. The total death from the US wars in three countries, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. The numbers, very conservative, are staggering. And these are at least 480,000 people have been directly killed by violence over the course of these conflicts. More than 244,000 of them civilians. Civilians, not troops. In addition to those killed by direct acts of violence, the number of indirect deaths, those resulting from disease, displacement, and the loss of critical infrastructure, is believed to be several times higher, running into the millions. And the report, which uses data spanning from October 2001 to October 2018, compiles previous analysis from non-governmental organizations. So, I mean, these are just, again, conservative numbers. And I think that we owe it to the Middle East to really talk about the tragedies that happen over there, because we always here are talking about the tragedies that happen to USA. And we largely forget that it was all on a base of a lie. And that lie was there were weapons of mass destruction, and there was everything in the power of people in the administration, of the Bush administration at that time, to try, were both Democrats and Republicans, to create this false idea that there needs to be a necessary revenge to go in the Middle East. And the consequence was very great, from homeland security to having Muslims in the USA be attacked, assaulted, from having as well other governments like Germany and in the UK also increased their terrorist laws. And just the entire world was really affected by this, all on just a basis, just a baseless reason. And this as well has been finally acknowledged by some members of the Bush administration, little too late. We have so many people, and so many people are lost lives, and we're still even suffering the consequences. There are people today living that do not know anything outside of the Middle East wars, which have also sparked many of the reasons why there are so-called terrorists in the Middle East that have been created because of it. I don't know if you want to add anything to
Yeah,
that
and the
or.
massive refugee crisis that's been created throughout the
Right.
region that is being blamed on the people who are refugees, but it's a result of, I mean, we could call it a tragedy, but this is really U.S. genocide.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's not like the U.S. stumbled into this. The U.S. knew what they were doing, and this is one of the things I've been reading about today. You know, today is Wednesday. It's 9/11 today. By the time you hear this episode, it'll be a few more days later. But we must never forget, right? They say we must never forget. And honestly, most people don't walk around. Like, I forgot it was 9/11. You forgot it was 9/11. My students forgot it was 9/11. The people who don't want to forget about 9/11 is the mainstream media, is the U.S. government, the Republicans and Democrats. They want us to always remember about why we have a security state here, why we have a security apparatus, Patriot Act One,
Surveillance.
Patriot Act Two, surveillance. Why do we have this whole thing we do at our airports that's insane? Why do we have drones going across the Middle East, bombing people and blowing up wedding parties? They want us to always remember why
Yes.
this war on terror needs to be rejustified, and we need to have a $760 billion military budget, and one that's ever growing. And never forget that the dangers that terrorism, that what they are calling terrorists, jihadists, propose to us. And I think there's other things to never forget. I think we should never forget that what is called the Taliban, which I would call an insurgency, was created by the United States. Was initially the Mujahideen that was created by the United States. Jimmy Carter, Bogdanovich, and National Security Advisor, he did an interview about this, and basically they funded them to draw the Soviet Union into Afghanistan, and it worked. And then they funded them more to create a Vietnam for the Soviet Union. I think we should never forget that the Project for a New American Century basically said, prior to the events of 9/11, said that the neoconservatives at the time, the Cheneys, the Wolfowitzes, the Rumsfelds of at the time, were part of this Project for a New American Century, were basically saying that the U.S. has an opportunity to redraw the map for the Middle East and create a new world order. But it's going to require a Pearl Harbor-like event to make that possibility, to allow them to justify and push the U.S. people into supporting the kind of wars that would be necessary, and allow the current administration to redraw the map in the Middle East and around the globe. I don't think we should ever forget that no building, no skyscraper has ever collapsed in its own footprint like a controlled demolition from a fire. None in history. I don't think we should ever forget that. I don't think we should ever forget that there was evidence of thermite actually in the ground, right? And that firefighters at the time, who were on the ground at 9/11, basically saw molten metal. That can't happen from fires. I don't think we should ever forget that these planes were designed to withstand, or the two, Trade Center 1 and Trade Center 2, were designed to withstand two planes going into them. I don't think we should ever forget that. I don't think we should ever forget that there was another, whatever, World Trade Center Building 7, which had very little fires, completely collapsed like in its own footprint. So I don't think we should ever forget that. I don't think we should ever forget that the planes on the day were scrambled, to simulate an attack of planes coming into buildings, which is why they didn't come here. That was something that the U.S. actually did. They actually scrambled jets at the time to do a simulation of to run a simulation of them of what their jets should do if they in case planes were coming into building, and they never went and did the kinds of things that they should do. I don't think we should ever forget that essentially on the day before this, that Pentagon was essentially attacked. Rumsfeld announced there was $2.3 trillion that had been lost in the Pentagon budget, and the actual part of the building that was actually hit is where all the documents for this kind of stuff was located. So I feel like, and I don't think we should ever forget that of the 19 people who supposedly did this attack with box cutters and cell phones and things like that six of them were found later, or five of them were later found alive, and they weren't even part of it. And they were all from Saudi Arabia. They weren't from Afghanistan. And I don't think we should forget that Osama bin Laden is a CIA asset. He was used by the CIA. So I think, and I don't think we should ever forget that virtually every war that the U.S. has gotten itself into has been predicated on a lie, not just the war in Iraq, which is predicated on the lie of weapons of mass destruction. I think the war in Afghanistan was predicated on the lie that the U.S. was surprised by an attack. I think the U.S. had every knowledge of this thing, and I think there was definite planning that went on into this that the U.S. had knowledge of. That is immaterial to whether or not, you know, this is wrong or right. But again, the U.S. has false flagged itself into every war. And I think if you look into this, you'll just see that there's just so much crap about this that looks like the United States once again engineered a way to go to war and to give itself the chance to redraw the map. And millions of people had to pay the price for it. Millions of non, and that's why I call the U.S. the biggest global terrorist. So that's what we should never forget. Is we should never forget that this is a criminal genocidal government that has done that has gone from Bush to Obama and now to Trump. And now when Trump is talking about essentially crying uncle because the U.S. doesn't feel like it can continue to fight the insurgency in Afghanistan, then again, the state, I think, has emerged. I think Pompeo has basically said, no, we're not going to do this. And, you know, well, I think Pompeo was behind wanting to pull out of this. And I think one of the reasons they got rid of Bolton is Bolton has been getting in the way of and was leaking information about this stuff to the press to expose that these secret meetings were going to happen. And he's one of the people, the Democrats are some of the people, there's an Atlantic Council that published a paper about how if we pull out now, not only does it strengthen Taliban, but it strengthens ISIS, which is why I also believe that this, today's attack on what they said was an island, quote, infested with ISIS. 80,000 tons of bombs were dropped on an island. And that's just such a racist characterization. This is just a criminal rogue government that we live under. And we should never forget that our government needs to be taken down and that the best thing that can happen is for our military to be defeated and our government to be taken down so we can actually have some peace in this world.
Along with what you listed, I think we shouldn't forget the Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was great.
Abu Ghraib.
And I wanted to just read something that was very interesting. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to summarize it. It was around the day of 9/11. There was at 2:40 p.m. in the afternoon of the 11th of September, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld was issuing rapid orders to his aides to look for evidence of Iraqi involvement. According to notes taken by senior policy official Stephen Cambon, Rumsfeld asked for best info fast. Judge whether good enough hit SH, referring to Saddam Hussein, at same time, not only UBL, referring to Osama bin Laden. This was Cambon's notes quoted Rumsfeld as saying, need to move swiftly, near-term target needs, go massive, sweep it all up, things related and not. This is what I truly am. This is all revealing, right? Because I grew up in this era when I remember the 2001 attacks as on television. And then I remember the newspaper that said war. I'll never forget. And everyone at the time believed it. And I remember walking out of high school. I was going to high school here in San Francisco at the time. And I went to join one of the largest anti-war protests here in downtown. And it was all just in because of people who hold the elite class, who hold a lot of power over so many. So when you say topple down or go against the government, take down the government, I am in agreement with taking down the people that are really ruling over the majority to bring us into wars, famine, displacement, concentration camps, creations, and just continuing to, ¿cómo se dice? Fomentar, perpetuate the drums of and the drums of war to continue on. So I thought it just in along the lines of what everything you were saying, I thought that should be clear as well, that this was clearly an attempt to craft a peace, to create war on a baseless lie, which we all know is now the false lie of weapons of mass destruction, which convinced everyone because everyone was in an emotional state.
And you know, look,
and the surveillance,
right?
We didn't.
And you know, it's disgusting that Democrats and liberals are going to try to get Trump, are going to go after Trump for trying to, quote, make peace. All right, now Trump's not really making peace. Here's a few things to understand. In this last year, the UN actually put out statistics. Pompeo actually had said that in the last month or so, they had killed 1,000 Afghanis. He called them Taliban or whatever, people from Afghanistan, and was, you know, beating his chest about how many they had killed. They've gone on a major offensive over this last several months, and the UN has recorded that more civilians have been killed by the U.S. than by what is called the Taliban, the Afghan resistance, in the last 4 or 5 months. And this is often what is done in prelude to trying to reach a peace agreement. You pound your opponent, and then you try to reach the best possible deal after you've smashed them as badly as you can. So what was the reason that Trump gave for staying out of this? He goes, oh, Taliban fought back. Taliban killed one of our soldiers. Taliban blew up
some. Even though they had already had other previous attacks.
Correct.
He canceled it before.
Correct. So that, I think that's a lie. And I think, I actually think there's an internal fight going on in the U.S. state about whether or not to do this, whether or not to do this. I don't think they're going to do it openly. And if Trump and Pompeo get their way, I think they are going to try to pivot the U.S. military again more towards China and North Korea and dealing with essentially competing with them militarily. But I think that there are sections of the U.S. state that do not want to see that happen. I think there was an Atlantic Council article, which I'll post here, that had a bunch of like John Negroponte and other neoliberal types who were basically saying, do not do this. And it was an amazing quote where they basically said, you know what, we're not actually losing that many soldiers anyway. Most of the people dying are people from Afghanistan. The Afghanistan soldiers are dying. We can afford to continue to this. And if we don't, not only will Taliban be on the rise, but ISIS will be on the rise, all that kind of stuff. This is why I believe that when Trump moved away from at least openly saying that they're going to have this agreement with the Taliban, why I think there's been a pounding of ISIS, because I think there's a debate in the U.S. government and the state about how best to exit or whether to exit. And I think what this carpet bombing that just happened today, I think, is part of that. And I don't know if that's essentially Trump trying to basically say, no, I'm going to be tough on ISIS, but I'm still going to be removing the troops. I'm not sure, but I really do believe that there's a connection between today's carpet bombing, getting rid of Bolton, and what's happened with these Camp David talks. And of course, the U.S. doesn't care. The U.S. will kill and threaten millions of people. They'll kill and threaten their own people. And I actually do believe that they had a hand in the events of 9/11 themselves. But they have a long history of putting their own people at risk in order to justify them going into war. So it's what the difference is between Trump and say the Democrats and Bolton is Trump wants to pivot towards challenging Asia, and Bolton and the Democrats and the neoliberals want to maintain their hold on the Eurasian landmass there and the Middle East, and they think they can hold out there. And I think Trump feels that this is not going to work. Trump and Pompeo feel like the U.S. is going to be drained, just like other empires have been drained by being in Afghanistan, the British Empire, the Soviet Empire, and now the U.S. It's a very, again, dangerous. People are going to get killed because of it, but the people who aren't going to seem to pay are the people who are the authors of these policies, not the Taliban, not ISIS, Trump, Pompeo, Bolton, the U.S. state.
I think you're right when there is conflict within. I think there is conflict within the administration. Bolton has been a war hawk from the very beginning, even keeping his eyes on his prize for Venezuela.
Yes. Yeah.
And Nicaragua and Cuba. Mm-hmm. And not wanting any negotiations with North Korea.
Right. And he wanted to, what he made some statements about the way we should deal with North Korea is the way we dealt with Gaddafi.
Yes,
Kim
Libya.
Jong-un. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he had said. Yes, exactly.
And he was kind of an author of this whole, we're going to support Guaido and try this coup and take down Maduro. And really, everything he's tried and suggested has been a failure. Mm-hmm. Maduro's still up. Venezuela's fine. Guaido, who's never heard of him. And, you know, I mean, I think, oh, and also there was a suspicion that he was the one who wanted to really push, or him and I think neoliberal forces that back him wanted to push an attack on Iran after the drone was taken down. I mean, Trump said that he walked away from that. So
He also wanted to have the USA pull out of the nuclear agreement that
with Iran,
the USA had with even Russia.
Mm. And I think they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And going after the human rights court lawyers and taking away their visas. Mm. I mean, there is just a series of things that Mark Bolton has really accomplished.
And, John Bolton.
Excuse me. Yes, John Bolton. Gracias.
Yeah.
And so...
is there such a thing as Mark Bolton?
No, I know someone that is named Mark Bolton. I'm sorry, Mark Bolton.
Okay, yeah.
He worked with me as a colleague.
Does he have an interesting mustache?
No. He is a biker.
Okay.
And he was a great Spanish teacher.
All right. Good. That's much better than this John Bolton clown.
Sorry, Mark Bolton. Yeah. Anyhow, go take it from here because I'm picking up the pieces.
I don't know if there's much. I don't know if there's much more to say other than I think there's an attempt. There's a continuation.
Can you say something about the NSA? These bred the NSA, and it bred just. I mean, we're talking about mass surveillance now. Being.
Yeah. I wanted to kind of more just say this thing about the Taliban and ISIS is that.
Go ahead.
That again, the biggest claim to fame, the claim on them from the U.S. media is these are jihadis, that these are violent people, they're crazy, anti-woman, Islamic caliphate, and I believe there may be truth about some of the elements of ideology.
Sharia law is part of the
ideology. But the reality is that the thing that is forcing the U.S. to sue for peace in Afghanistan is not the U.S. anti-war movement. It's the resistance, and it's the Taliban. It is the Taliban bringing them to the peace table, and that's one of the reasons why socialists support resistance movements for colonies is because there's an element of even no matter how backwards that movement is ideologically. The act of fighting back against an occupier is liberatory and is has a liberatory element to it, and it puts a giant gears in the wrench in the gears of the empire, and makes it that much harder for them to continue to advance their cause. So I think we have to be clear: it is not the U.S. anti-war movement which has stalled the U.S. war machine in the Middle East. It is the resistance in the Middle East, and people. I don't. You can call it ISIS. You can call it Taliban, but that's an insurgency there. They want to use terms like jihad, and they're trying to caliphate, like they're trying to control the whole region. The country that is trying to control the whole region and dominate the whole region is the United States. Of course, Russia will try to do that, and China will try to do that. And the interesting thing to note is that one of the reasons that people thought. I heard one of the reasons that people thought that the timing of Trump's meeting right now is that at the very same time while Trump was trying to have a meeting with the Taliban and the Afghanistan president, was China and Pakistan and elements of the Taliban were meeting in Islamabad, which I think is in Pakistan. Mm. And so it is very much believed that that China is actually figuring in the future of that region, and the U.S. is trying to actually keep that from happening. This is why the U.S. is, I think, scrambling to find a diplomatic solution, because a military solution is, I think their hand is going to get weaker and weaker and weaker. And again, not because of the anti-war movement, not because of our resistance. Our resistance has been no resistance. Most of the anti-war movement actually still applauds the U.S. going after Taliban or going after ISIS. Believe it, well, the fact is that it's ISIS and Taliban that is the reason the U.S. empire is even slowing down right now. And we have to acknowledge that.
I thought it was also the peace negotiations were involving India. I was just trying to figure out if India, China...
India has been opposed to the agreement reached with the Taliban, the people in the Indian government.
I'm not going to say much because, I always put my position. I don't like to say something I don't know.
Because there are people in India, at least I think there are sections of the ruling class in India that feel like the U.S. leaving is going to strengthen Pakistan and that would be bad for India. So this is part of that whole debate over between the neoliberals and the new path that Trump and Pompeo and them are trying to go on. So I have actually, I read this article by the Atlantic Council, which basically said that we were leaving India stranded if we abandon Afghanistan right now.
Let's say something here. You mentioned 9/11.
I did.
I appreciate you sharing. We have not even decided to create an episode on it, but since I realize when will we have another time for 9/11 anniversary, unless we talk about it till next year,
yeah.
I should say it has been largely considered to be a conspiracy. I want to know your response to that.
Well, that's something I used to think myself. Like, even when I was completely anti-imperialist, a socialist, a Marxist, certainly in the ISO, we actually denigrated and belittled these 9/11 truthers. Oh, you're crazy, you know. Of course, and we often quoted the things you quoted, which is, no question, the U.S. immediately used these events to jump and launch themselves into their imperial adventure.
Yeah,
that is. That's just undisputable. The 9/11 truth people basically said, well, no, we believe the U.S. had a hand in it. Sometimes they think the CIA, Saudi Arabia, and Mossad collaborated at some level. Honestly, I think more and more evidence has come out and that I've seen that suggests that buildings just don't go down this way. Like, it just hasn't happened. And the U.S. gained so much of it from it, and they have such a history of false flags that it makes the most sense to me that the U.S. was like, you know, we're going to take these buildings down, and they were going to take down three. It turned out, and the one they didn't even have a reason to, building seven, except that was where a bunch of records were stored on some of the CIA, NSA, and places like that. They were all housed in building seven. So there were some fires that were in, like, upper floors, and then the building pancakes. Mm. Like,
demolition style.
Demolition style. And, in fact, there was a recent study done by, a 100-page study done by an engineering group in Alaska that basically said there's no way this could have happened, like, and no simulation we had that could have a fire produce this sort of effect. And they said the only way we could get this effect that we saw was global destruction of all the pillars simultaneously, of all the major things that held it up. And that's what you do during a controlled demolition. You find the major structural points and you blow them up, and then the building comes down in pancakes. So if that's what's happened with Building 7, then what happened? Why was that going on with Building 7? And why does Building 1 and Building 2 go free fall? It just doesn't make any sense. And why is there evidence of thermite, things that would melt the metal, and that there were like these 45-degree angle slices in metal found in it? It just doesn't make any sense. And why did all the material that was used to, immediately they shipped all that stuff out? It's a crime scene. And the first thing they do is they start collecting all this stuff and shipping it to China, getting it out, getting away from the United States, so that now the crime scene can't be investigated. So it's like there's just too many things that suggests that larger forces within the United States were behind and involved in some major way in that event. It doesn't really change it. Like, the fact that U.S. is willing to kill, like you said, millions of people around the globe is worse than the fact that they're willing to kill 2,000 people in the United States. Because the body count is higher, right? For me, this is the international working class. Workers in the United States, workers in Afghanistan, workers in Syria, we're all the same. We all are together. So a U.S. body count is not better or worse. I think for some people, like, oh my God, the U.S. will kill its own citizens. Yes, it will kill its own citizens. It will do it in all sorts of different ways, through taking away health care or towards bringing down buildings. The thing I can say is that the actual story of 9/11 that is on offer, which is these buildings ran into with planes and they came down as a result of that, and we had no idea this was going on. That story I know is a lie. The thing that makes the most sense to me, I'm more convinced that Epstein was murdered, to be honest. But the thing that makes the most sense out of these events is that there was just an inside operation to demolish these buildings. And there was insider trading that was going on in Wall Street, that people got rich off of this event through some major upticks of shorting on certain things. And that the dude who owned the buildings themselves made billions of dollars in these things getting demolished through insurance. So it's very sketchy.
This is one of those conspiracy theories that I have just listened and was left with a lot of questions and did not feel completely the way that just felt like when I have seen other conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. I have not delved into it much, but I don't wish to entertain the flat earthers. And I think, you know, my gosh, I just don't have time for this. But this one is one that I just have lots of questions. And you mentioned a lot of ones that I didn't read about. There were other ones as well with Pennsylvania and the Pentagon that I was wondering about. But it's for me, and I want to make this, because this is going to be public, and who knows how long this is going to live on the internet. I still am feeling like there are some gaps, even with the conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. And in order for me to take a strong position, I need to fill in a little bit more of those gaps. Mm. And I didn't realize that you were going to mention some of that on this episode. Otherwise, I would have been prepared for possible 9/11 truthers to maybe answer on the comment sections below. I think it's only fair that they also want to know what gaps I'm talking about. And I just didn't prepare for this, for this episode today.
And if people, think it would be good if people had questions and we could get at that.
Yeah.
We're going to have another anniversary in another
year.
Right,
we'll have another one. So we'll definitely put this in the topics. But like I said, because I'm not satisfied with some of the answers, that's the reason why I'm not taking a position on it.
And we talked about conspiracy theorists and people who believe conspiracy theorists are my brothers and sisters, right? I talked about why I think, because they're not, they're at the very least, they know there's a deep lie at the heart of what they're being told. But I mentioned flat earth because I was like, all right, I like you flat earthers, you know, da 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 da. But I believe that the 9/11 conspiracy is legit. Like, what I mean is, it's like their evidence makes more sense out of what happened than, oh, planes flew in and the U.S. kind of scrambled after that. Their evidence makes much more sense out of what happened to me. And the best theory that fits the facts that I know is that the U.S., that this was an inside job. That's not proof. It's just saying the best theory to me that fits the evidence. Many people on the left, and I was part of that, were reluctant to do it because we didn't want to seem like lunatic fringe and stuff like that.
The ISO.
Yeah. Yeah. The ISO. And most socialists don't take any of this stuff up. But I don't think it's to our credit. I think why would we be, why should socialists who think that our ruling class is the most brutal ruling class on the planet be surprised that our ruling class is willing to just dispose of anybody in this on this country in order to project their aims and then dispose of people in those countries. It's almost like there's a sort of mini illusion we have of our own ruling class. Oh, they're not going to kill people in the United States. It's like, what are we talking about? Now, what isn't true, I think what one thing that often 9/11 truthers think is that if people believe this, if people knew this, then they'd be on the streets and we'd be taking our government down. That's not true. That's not true. I think most people...
That's a different take.
Yeah. And I think that that people could know this, we could actually find this out, and people would, not they would still be, it would be a major shakeup in the U.S. government, but people would still be cowed, people would still be frightened, because, again, the events have been used to create a massive apparatus of control. So I don't think just knowledge of these events themselves are enough to create that ferment for the French the yellow vest and things like that.
Yeah, the yellow vest movement. Yeah.
Right. I think a lot of people think that if people knew then they would revolt. If people knew, I think they would look more deeply into other things. I think they would start to investigate. But it doesn't just mean an uncorking of everything.
Yeah.
That's the part that I disagree with the 9/11 truthers on. Even though I think their facts make more sense out of what happened than us Reds who just said, well, the U.S. used this cynically, had no knowledge, but used this cynically to propel themselves into building empire from that point.
Yeah. I said, I have questions on both sides, because even like the 28 pages that were redacted by the U.S. government.
In the commission report.
And what were those 28 pages, right? Yeah. So
a lot of that was involvement of Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. and the money that was paid out to people in Saudi Arabia around, I don't know.
The people who were flown out.
Yes.
Immediately
after.
That was confirmed. I did read about that. Yeah. And why weren't we going after them? But we were going after Iraq and Afghanistan.
Well, Afghanistan. Osama bin Laden became the immediate target at that point. Iraq was later after Afghanistan.
Because the Saudis and the USA have had a long relationship for so long.
Right.
And I just want to quickly put in there that we shouldn't forget the Yemen war that is going on as well. Mm-hmm. That we should see in this. But going back to this, so that is my position. I think we will touch again on another time for the 9/11 anniversary. Maybe we can talk about that because I didn't come prepared for that and mm-hmm. I could mention my gaps. But I do have questions on both sides. And for me, that is how I'm always trying to see if something is certain or not, and to make a position, and I'm left with questions. So personally, mm-hmm. I cannot deny or confirm anyone else. Mm-hmm. So, because we have gone into, you and I, a big debate that I think people can often, can by themselves look into the episode that we got into, that I think we were, because we touched on the conspiracy theories, I just want to say that I think at that time I didn't understand some things that you were saying, and that is that you were open to listening to all of the conspiracies, even if some of them you disagreed, but you didn't want to close the door on the conspiracists. Right. And I don't think that I was trying to say that, but apparently that's what was understood, I think. And I don't want to close the doors on conspiracies. I simply was trying to emphasize that I don't want to indulge ¿cómo se dicen los? The ones that are truly out wacky out there.
Well, people jumped down my throat for being so mean to you on that episode, so I'm gonna hold my fire now. Be like, okay, I agree with you, Eduardo. I agree.
I think one thing that I want our new listeners and viewers to understand is that here on What's Left, this is, like I keep telling, and I said it on last week's episode, this is where we are different on the left, where we have a project here. This project started off at Cafe Conversations between Andy and I, where we talk uncensored, and this is what the left is missing out on. Mm-hmm. So I just want to remind folks that if you're tuning in and you're listening to this, this is what we're doing here. This is our project to attempt to have difficult and challenging conversations and even debates and even disagreements between us and still be able to still be within the same, together, right? Agree to disagree and not have this very clear, you're not someone I'm going to talk to anymore. And we're going to bring in all kinds of voices and opinions and points of view.
Yep.
So anyhow, those were just reference, and also
no,
for people
good.
To continue subscribing.
I can redeem myself by being nice.
And we're not, and I'm not bothered.
No, he's not bothered.
I was never bothered.
But I was accused of being a douche.
I did not say
no,
that.
You didn't. It was somebody else. But I said, yeah, you're kind of right. I'm sorry about
no,
that.
No, I was not bothered. I'm used to Andy. You have to, we go back long, long
yes.
time before this project. Only Andy knows my real side. No, I'm real like this.
Anything else on that?
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're going off.
Yeah.
As we usually do with
yeah.
these kind of episodes.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anything else I'd have to say.
I think that the only thing I want to touch in, and just to mention, was something I kept highlighting for myself here to mention, and that is that let us not forget that there was this, the gates, how do you say in English? Gates of floods? Floods?
Floodgates?
The floodgates were opened the minute we had legislation passed to give complete powers to the executive branch to declare themselves as always being in a state of...
Oh, yeah. What is that?
Yeah.
That authorization of use
yes.
of military force.
Yes, that was the authorization, which would only one Congress member, Barbara Lee, was opposed to. And this has been the longest standing piece of legislation that has given and granted powers to surveil us all mm-hmm. and created even, and I'm not sure actually this one, if they created the NSA after that or they're just...
I don't know. I think it was before that.
All right. Yeah. Well, I won't speak to that because I don't like to.
Yeah.
But this is where I just want to point out people. The civil... So this also passed the USA Patriot Act saying it would help detect and prosecute terrorism and other crimes. Civil liberty groups have criticized the Patriot Act, saying it allows law enforcement to invade the privacy of citizens and that it eliminates judicial oversight of law enforcement and domestic intelligence. And this has even been used in with the creation of Department of Homeland Security to even get rid of immigrants coming into this country.
Mm-hmm.
In every which way, this has tried to use terrorism for everything. When we have had more domestic terrorism by people who consider themselves to be white nationals or white supremacists in this country than any ISIS terrorism in this country, and yet we don't do anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Edward Snowden, for also
mm-hmm.
revealing that the eavesdrops on telephone and email communications and people overseas without warrant and investigations and surveillance state we are in is largely due to this 9/11 conspiracy,
yeah.
really.
And there was one quote I wanted to give because I read this interview by Brzezinski, the guy who was the author under Jimmy Carter, national security advisor under Jimmy Carter, who started the Mujahideen and who tried to, and was very cynically tried to draw the Soviet Union, was going to use Afghanistan as a playground for big power combat.
Yeah.
And so people might have this notion that the US ruling class is under some they are racist. They are thoroughly racist. But they might have some notion that the US ruling class is just ignorantly racist and just thinks, oh, they don't understand Islam. They don't understand they just think that all Islamists are fundamentalists and jihadis and stuff like that. And this is very interesting because Brzezinski in this interview, and I think this interview was obviously done 10 or 15 years later after, and Brzezinski is very proud of what he did. He's very proud of building the Mujahideen and using Afghanistan as a playground for bringing down the Soviet Union, even though it killed thousands and even hundreds of thousands of people. But here's what he said to one question that was posed mm-hmm. To him by the interviewer. So Brzezinski was said first, "What is most important to the history of the world, the Taliban or the collapse of the Soviet Empire? Some stirred up Muslims or the liberation of the Central Europe and the end of the Cold War?" That was Brzezinski. Then the interviewer says, "Some stirred up Muslims, but it has been said and repeated, Islamic fundamentalism represents a world menace today. And Brzezinski said this, nonsense. It is said that the West had a global policy in regard to Islam. That is stupid. There isn't a global Islam. Look at Islam in a rational manner and without demagoguery or emotion. It is the leading religion of the world with 1.5 billion followers. But what is there in common among Saudi Arabian fundamentalism, moderate Morocco, Pakistan militarism, Egyptian pro-Western or Central Asian secularism? Nothing more than what unites the Christian countries. So this is a dude deep in the ruling class of the United States. The ruling class knows about these religions. They know their history. They know about these things. They lie to us. They're not just racist, they're liars. So they try to act like they don't know this kind of thing. It's not just that Bush is an idiot, which he is an idiot, but they actually lie to us because they actually know the real history of religion. Brzezinski says it right here. He's not some brilliant person. This is what they know. But they want to make it sound like Islamic fundamentalism is monolithic, caliphate, you know, terrorism, and blah, blah, blah. And they know better. And yet they're going to use these lies to push us into war, to push us into a security state, to build the NSA around us. Fear-mongering. And it's racism, but it's not just racism. It is literally calculated lying because they actually know the truth, but they're going to tell us crazy stuff about Islam in order to get us to be terrified.
Yeah, yeah. And so much of that, our fellow people constantly face that. It's just seeing them as terrorists immediately when they are expressing a religion. I am not in agreement with their religion myself, but that is separate of seeing someone as a terrorist because they are just simply Muslim.
But whether they believe that religion or not, they are living in occupied countries and they are fighting back against that occupation. And they have a right to do that.
And those occupied countries are where massive people have been displaced. Mm-hmm. And then you have these Western countries, specifically in the USA. There you go, NATO countries, the European countries, where immigration just keeps going over and everyone is complaining about all these boats and everything and people coming over. Well, why are we bombing these countries?
Carpet bombing them. Yeah.
You know, creating exasperation, creating famine, creating... So yeah. These are refugees. And so and I think that's why...
refugees of U.S. imperialism.
Yeah. And then we still have Israel being supported, bombing another Muslim occupied territory.
Mm-hmm. And they're talking about grabbing...
Annexing. Yes. So. Yes, for the election, for the parliamentary elections of Benjamin Netanyahu. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, so.
Annexing part of West Bank. Is that right?
Somewhere Jerusalem. Okay. I was just listening to the news. Right. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. We'll put it on the comments below here.
Check the news. You'll find out about it. They're trying to annex something.
Sorry.
That they shouldn't be annexing.
All right.
Well, that was good.
Yeah, that was that was good.
We were very friendly. And you're leaving next week, right?
Yes, I will be in Florida.
No, let's not argue before you leave.
Andy, we need to argue.
Yes. People like it better.
No, I will be after the hurricane. I will be after Hurricane Dorian. I will be there. So I will be visiting my very close friend. And I will see you all in Florida when we...
Yeah, and maybe that might be the episode where we talk about the e-cigarettes and the regulation, because Trump, while he's doing this, was also trying to do something to cut down on e-cigarettes or something like that, so, which I'm sure you approve of.
Or maybe we can also discuss hurricanes.
We'll see.
Floridarian politics.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening or tuning in to either one of our programs. We will. You can check us out on any of our platforms on Stitcher, BitChute, Google Play, iTunes Podcast, and YouTube. Please subscribe, rate, review, and best of all, share with the community and family. And we'll catch you all next week.
All right. Take care. Okay, testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3. This is how I'll be sounding on September September 11th, 2019.
Yes. 18 years after the War on Terror. And this is what I will be sounding like. And having an exciting time with Andy Tyler.
I think so. I actually think we're going to agree on a lot of things.
We left the window open.
You forgot to close the window.